Your BBN online feature will begin in just a moment. You can look at a BBN program schedule online at bbnradio.org, click Programs, and then Program Schedule and Links. bbnradio.org, then click Programs, then Program Schedule and Links.
Hey, how's that home building project going? Let BBN help you as you build a strong family to the glory of God. Welcome to Building Blocks for the Family. Our guest today is Kempton Turner. Ephesians 4 talks about ones. It talks about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. It talks about one body, one spirit, one hope. Consider the seven ones today. Here's Kempton Turner.
Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. I know it's true. Now it's my joy to honor you in all I do. So what Christ has done motivates us to go proclaim Jesus. What Christ has done on the cross motivates us to get in the Bible. What Christ has done on the cross motivates us to pray. What Christ has done on the cross motivates us to tell the truth and not lie to each other. What Christ has done on the cross motivates us not to steal, but to give. That's what God wants us to see, that the gospel is not only the go to heaven card, the gospel is everything. When you really see that a real man who really lived, who really was pierced in his hands, who really has scars, with real blood, that really died and really rose. When you really see that, nobody has to beg you to pray. Nobody has to beg you to go tell people about Jesus. Nobody has to beg you to save sex for marriage. You will be so rocked and mesmerized and fascinated and just shredded by the love of God that a perfectly innocent man would look at his father and say, blame me for their pornographic addiction. Blame me for the way they disobey their parents. Blame me for the way Kempton is angry at his children and doesn't love his wife like he ought to. All you really need is for God for one moment to show you the glory of what happened on the cross. Amazing love. Now it's my joy to honor you in all I do. Jesus comes in as Lord. He comes to take over. He is glorious and gracious, and he comes to renovate our hearts and our lives. And he wants to send us back into our families and schools and the world, looking more like Jesus, caring about his glory. And the Lord comes in through the gospel and he changes our mental lives, right? He changes the way we think, what we think about. Your mind was mainly made to think about God and be blown away. That's why your mind is in your body. That's why your mind exists. And how Jesus comes in and changes your emotional life. And I know we wrestle with anger and bitterness and jealousy and envy. And God wants you to know he made you with emotions. And your emotions mainly exist to hear the gospel and to see the gospel and to be satisfied in God. That's why you mainly have emotions. And then your ethical life. Jesus comes in and he teaches his own people not to steal, not to lie, not because we're trying to do the right thing. No, but because God has already done the right thing in sending his son to die on the cross. And so our ethical lives, the reason we live honest, the reason why we give to people is because our lives were made to display how gracious and truthful and holy Christ is. Christ is our conversational lives, the way we talk, building each other up and not tearing each other down, not lying to one another. I talked to a young lady. She's probably in here. And she came up to me and said, God is dealing with me about lying. That's powerful. That's powerful. You know the Lord is working when you're not afraid to come up to one of your leaders and say, this is it, man. Confession does not just stop with, Father, I'm sorry. That's where it starts, for sure, to be forgiven. The blood applied to your confession. But then the Lord wants you to move to other believers. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another so that you might be healed. You might be healed. So tell somebody over dinner. It's like we can't wait to get out of the presence of the Lord. It really, we just can't wait. Sometimes just linger. Just leaders, talk about these things over dinner. Talk about these things on the bus. I mean, the Lord is doing a work in some hearts and give them an opportunity, shepherd them, or else they'll talk about anything. Shepherd them to talk about, what did God say to you this weekend? So Paul builds all of this up. Walk worthy in the manner of the calling you've been called. And the next verse has really surprised me, because I'm thinking, wow, the gospel is going to cause you to go to the world and pray for 5 hours and fast and go without food and be so committed to Christ. That's not what Paul says. He says, walk worthy in the manner which you've been called, with all humility. Practically, when you've been rocked by the gospel, your relationships begin to take on humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. So you're humble. How do you know if Christ has gotten a hold of somebody's heart? You used to walk in a room like, I wonder what they think about my sweatshirt. I wonder if they're looking at me. The Lord starts working in your heart and you begin to humble yourself and you start thinking, you know what? I wonder what are they thinking about Jesus, the one who died for us? You begin to humble yourself before the cross when you see what Christ has done for you. Humble, humility, and then gentleness. Now, guys, stick with it. That doesn't seem like a masculine word, you know? Man, Josh, man, he is so gentle. It's like, he is? I don't know about that. That must be for girls. No. Well, Jesus was gentle and lowly. So it's not for girls. He was the manly man. When Christ shows up, gentleness, that means kind responses to those especially that mistreat you. This is gentleness, kindness, soft response. You're not always harsh. You're not just abrasive. You're just kind and gentle. That's what Jesus does. In your relationships, are you gentle? Are you humble? And then it says, patience, okay? That's a tough one, isn't it? Just patience. I always know when the gospel is at work in my heart or somebody else's heart, when it's just like, I'm going to just wait, okay? I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to let him do whatever he wants to do. That word patience actually has it means long-stemmed. Okay, anybody like fireworks? Fireworks? The guys, girls, some girls. Yeah. Like back in the day, I used to like fireworks and I still do like them, but I remember when I was a little crazy, and my friend, we would get those firecrackers with like the shortest stems, man. Then they'd have these ones with long stems, like just like you could stretch it all the way out, and you put it on fire, and it's just like, just kind of waiting. That's what that word means, patience. Patience is a characteristic mainly of God. You wonder why people curse God and they still get to live and breathe? I'm patient. And I am so thankful that God didn't wait to blow me into hell. He waited. He waited until I trusted his son, okay? He didn't cause me to die apart from Christ. And when you become a Christian, you get some of that patience, that long-stemmedness. When people wrong you and when things don't go your way, you look to God and you say, more patience from you, Lord. And he gives you patience. And then bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's just loving each other, bearing with each other. That word literally means, and those of you with smaller siblings will appreciate this, that word bearing means to put up with, all right? Put up with, all right? So if you're in Christ, you have the supernatural ability to put up with people that bother you. Anybody have, no, don't raise your hand, but people that bother you. Christians! Because who puts up with us? Our God, who poured out all of his anger on his son so that he no longer is harsh or angry towards those who are in Christ. Yes, he has fatherly displeasure, but he puts up with us. And we ought to put up with one another. And we ought to be wanting to maintain the unity in the body of Christ. But finally, I just want to move to why, all right? We walk worthy of the gospel. How? Through the power of the gospel, by looking at Christ. We become loving and humble and patient the more we look at him. But why do we do it? There's one body, okay? And one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. All right, I need you to help me get your ones in the air, because these seven things are what keep Christians united. All right? I mean, across the globe, across the world, what seven things should Christians have in common? Why should we love each other? Why should we put up with each other? Why should we be humble towards one another? Why should we be patient towards one another? God says, because of these seven things. I mean, think about the silly, shallow stuff that many of us have in common with each other that we say, these things make us friends. Like, we're the same age. I mean, that's fine. He's 15, I'm 15. Man, we're going to love each other forever. Well, all right. What makes me and my friends together is because, you know, we all go to the same private school. Or we're all homeschooled over here. Same instrument. Or we like the same novels. Or we all like Chipotle burritos, man. All of us, man. We have a really good bond. Or we play the same sports. Look, these things are good, but they're shallow. Let me tell you why. Let me see your eyes. Because in 100 years, they won't matter. The only bond that matters in 100 years is if you and another person are in love with Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for them. That's a bond that makes us one. All right, let me see your ones. All right. First one, why don't you shout out with me? With your one in the air. One body. Okay, one body. That's good. That's your practice. That's good. One body. He says one body. Okay, look, because of the gospel, these are people who are in Christ. We have one body. And I love that analogy, right? Body. How can the mouth say to the ear, I don't need you? Or how can the ear say to the nose, I don't need you? He's just saying we're one body and we need each other. I mean, can you imagine if, like, you were in those very cold dorms, right? And you were, your shoulder kind of told your hand earlier that day, you know what, hand, I don't need you. I'm the shoulder, man. Give me a shoulder. I don't need no hand. And then you're in bed, right? And all of a sudden the blanket's like on your knees and you kind of wanted to come up here. And so the shoulder's kind of like, psst, hey, hand, why don't you hook me up, man? And kind of get that blanket, and the hand's like, oh, now you want to talk to me. You said you don't need me, though. We need each other, right? What about if your mouth tells your nose, I don't need you, nose. Then all of a sudden you drink some milk. And it's like, you didn't tell me. He said, the noah says, I know. You said you don't need me. Listen, it's funny, but the reality is you desperately need other Christians because you are a part of the body of Christ. Listen. The body of Christ is more glorious than any club, any athletic program. The body of Christ is the only group of people on the earth that Jesus Christ claims for his own, that Jesus Christ spills his blood for. We're one body. That's why we love each other. That's why we put up with each other. That's why we're patient with each other. We need each other. We're one body. One body. Okay, next. Is one spirit. Let me see your ones. All right? You ready? One spirit.
One spirit.
One spirit. One spirit. This is what keeps us together. One spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. This is amazing. What binds us together, Christians, is that God lives in each one of us. I'll let that sink in. God lives in you. God lives in you. No other religion can claim that. That their God came down and got inside of their body. That's crazy. I mean, you're talking about the same God who in the Old Testament like dwelt in like pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, and then called his people to make the sanctuary in the temple, and he dwelt in the Holy of Holies. Only the priest could go in there, and then God came and he dwelt in Jesus Christ because he is Jesus Christ. He is the glory of God. So the Spirit of God was perfectly in Jesus Christ, and then Jesus rose from the dead, and everybody who trusts the gospel, guess what happens? When you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for you, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit into your body. God lives in you. You don't work to love each other and to put up with each other and be humble with one another. You've been given the Holy Spirit so we can love each other. We are one. So one body, one spirit. I love this one. Get your ones ready. You ready? One hope.
One hope.
One hope. This is not hope so, right? This is confident expectation that what God has promised his people is going to happen. That's what hope means. That means that ultimately our hope is Christ coming back for us to take us to be with him. This is our hope. We get so bogged down with Facebook and bogged down with computers and bogged down with video games and all of that. Sometimes we don't even want Jesus to come back. But we have a greater hope than the fading treasures of this world. And the greatest moment you've ever had on earth, multiply it by infinity, and it will be the most boring moment in heaven. There's no boring moments in heaven. Every moment is just like, how's your day today? Great. I'm in heaven. Jesus, what do you mean? How's my day today? Every day. That's our hope. And that's why we tell all the unbelievers in the room, won't you join us? You mean you don't want eternal pleasure in the presence of God forever? You would rather have eternal torment away from God? Why don't you join us? You need hope. You ever cried before, Christian? Yeah, you've cried and you will cry some more. There will be pain waiting on you when you go back home, and people close to you will die and your heart will be broken into 1,000 pieces. I just want to tell you the truth, and your God will be with you, and he wants you to know he will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Anybody all in for no more pain? How many would like no more pain? Like no more pain? Praise the Lord. One Lord. Let me see your ones. All right? Let's say one Lord. One Lord. This is beautiful. Just Jesus. This is what we rally around, right? One boss. One master. You know what? You love each other. All right? Pray for each other. Be kind to one another. Don't lie. Don't steal. Listen, guys and girls, don't lust after one another. Listen, look up. You have one Lord. Jesus means he's the boss. He's the Lord over all. He's died for us. He's risen from the dead. We have one Lord, one who redeemed us, one who forgave us, one who took the wrath of God for us, one who is risen at the right hand of the Father who's interceding for us. We rally around one Lord, King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus, you're the Lamb of God. Jesus, you're the way, the truth, the life. Jesus, you are high and exalted. Jesus, you're the one with burning angels worshiping you. Jesus, you're seated on the throne. Jesus, you're at the right hand of your Father making intercession for your people right now. Jesus, you're coming back on a white horse with a sword coming out of your mouth, and you're going to strike down your enemies. Jesus, you have saved a people that you will cause to love you and adore you, to exalt you, and to treasure you forever. You're the King. And we say, you're our Lord. And if it's only six of us in this room, you're not threatened. All six of us will say, you're our Lord. And for the rest of you, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess sooner or later that Jesus is Lord. And all we're saying is, choose to do it now willingly. Please. Wow, now, tell him, I'm a sinner. I'm trusting you. I want this Lord. You're so precious. We love him. Get your ones up. Let's say one faith.
One faith.
One faith. One faith. What does that mean? One faith. What faith are you? What faith am I? What faith? One faith. It just means the gospel. That's a shorthand. Paul uses it. The faith. Keep the faith. Trusting in Jesus' death on the cross. And I was talking to someone earlier, talking to him about the gospel, and I realized a lot of us don't even know what the gospel is. Look, the gospel is God is glorious and holy and just, all right? We are wicked and sinful. This holy God must punish wicked sinners because he is just. That place of punishment, if you don't turn to Christ, is the lake of fire. But Jesus came, died on a cross, lived a perfectly obedient life. He died in the place of everyone who will trust him, rely upon him. Just say, believe in him. So I just want to pause right now, because some of you in this room, you've never done that. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So just take a moment and bow your head. If you're in Christ, pray. Okay, just pray. There's several unbelievers in here. If I interacted with you, I know you don't know the gospel. You're just like I was. And God loves you. And so I want to tell you the gospel again. This gospel demands a response. God is holy. He cannot look upon sin. You and I are sinful. We break his commands. We deserve his wrath. But God so loved the world that he sent his son to die a horrible death in our place, to take God's anger away from us onto himself. He rose up from the dead. And now he says to you, call out to me and I'll save you. Right now, in your heart, right now, just say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. I want that hope that Kempton just mentioned. I want that Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We got one faith. Let's go to the last one, because I want to finish out and show you guys something. Let's go to, we're going to skip one baptism, one God and Father of all. So get your ones up, all right, and say one God and Father of all.
One God and Father of all.
One God and Father of all. Just one God. It's not three gods. It's not five gods. We don't need to get confused. How many gods are there? Well, what about those people that say, there's only one God. And he's triune. And if you've seen that list, the Trinity is right there. One Spirit, one Lord, one God. All right? We don't budge on one God, three persons. All right? That keeps us together. We don't understand it all, but Christians do believe that there is one God, three different persons, Father, Son, Spirit. This God and Father of all is over all, it means all Christians, right? Father. Over all, through all, in all. Overall, sovereign, right? When the heater goes out, we can chill out because our Father is over all. He's the one that keeps us from fear and keeps us in the love of God. And he keeps us believing, right? And then it says, through all. And it says, lastly, in all. He's our strength. He's in us. He's the one that we depend on to give us the strength to continue to pursue Christ, to leave this place, and to proclaim his gospel for his glory. And so let's go back to one baptism. Finally, final one. Hands up. All right, one baptism.
One baptism.
One baptism. What in the world? What's up with this baptism? Well, most likely this is water baptism, and it typically happens once a sinner sees his sin, sees the beauty of Jesus' substitution in his place, and throws himself on Christ for salvation. The command in the scripture is to be baptized. What's your name?
Cassie.
Cassie, why were you baptized?
To show others I put my faith in Christ.
That's beautiful. Put my faith in Christ. All right? It's a proclamation to the world. It's like, listen, we share that together. By seeing you stand there in that water, identify with Christ, when he stood there on the cross, taking our sin. Jesus isn't dead. I love baptism because it shows us he died, he went in the grave, you come out of that water, and you show the world, Jesus isn't dead, and now my faith is in this resurrected Lord. We have water baptism in common. If you haven't been baptized, talk to your leaders about the gospel. Be baptized. We share this as one. Paul says, walk worthy of the calling that you have been given because of the power of this gospel. And he says, you know, in humility and gentleness and patience, we need to be loving each other and be humble and patient. Why? Man, we're part of one body, one spirit. One hope. We're going to be in glory. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, help us all, because of what you've done for us in Christ, to walk in a way that shows off the beauty of your gospel. In our minds, in our speech, in our actions, in our attitudes. Lord, no more games. No more games, Lord, please. Make real Christians out of everybody in this room, including myself. One body, one baptism, one hope. Lord, be glorified for a lifetime, and that you would seal the work that you are doing in our hearts, so that we would go back home, go back to school, and live lives that radiate the worth of our King.
Kempton Turner and Seven Ones. You've been listening to Building Blocks for the Family from the Bible Broadcasting Network, helping you build a strong family to the glory of God.
That concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.